because God has something for us. So this morning, I want to invite the speaker of the Word of God, that is none other than Sister Monica, my sister. And I love you so much, Sister Monica. I know you're such a blessing, and we're greatly honored to have you as our speaker today. And I pray that the Lord will use you to deliver what you have prepared. Maybe before we continue, we'd like to pray for you. So let's pray. Mighty and everlasting Father, we thank you once again, O God, for gathering us here. We know, Lord, that you're here in our midst, O King of glory. My Father, I want to commit Sister Monica and Terrible Hands, O Jehovah Father. Thank you, God, for such a privilege and such an honor, O God, that you've given unto her, O Lord. I pray, Lord, that she'll be used of you, O God. I pray, Jehovah Father, that she will speak what God you have ordained her to speak this day, O King of glory. Holy Spirit of God, we invite you in our presence. We ask you to come and fill this place. Come and overflow in this place. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts, O King of glory, will see your glory that they are to see, O Lord. Holy Spirit of God, we also asking you to inscribe the word of God into our hearts and into our minds, O God. And I pray, Jehovah Father God, that may your word come and accomplish the purpose for which God you have commissioned it to do in our lives this day. For it's in Jesus' name have we prayed and believed.
Amen.
This morning for his mercies that are new each and every morning, because his mercies has brought me this far. I want to say this morning that the Lord has been my Ebenezer. This far I have come, I can testify it's the Lord's doing. I know it's not by my strength, it's not because of anything that I have done, but it's because of God's mercy. So I want to give him special thanks and to honor him, even to humble myself before him here for appointing this time so that I may be able to share with you what he has for us. It's my prayer that he may use me for the glory and honor of his name. Today I want us the title of our word today is Standing in Ground. That's the title of the word today, is Studying the Ground. I'm going to read various books, and I'm going to start with the book of Daniel. It's a common story. We all know it is the story of the Hebrew boys, but I pray that the Lord will be able to interpret it to us now in a special way today. So I thank God for you for coming. It's not in vain. When the Lord, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their presence. And the Lord is here in our presence because there are more than that number. And what matters is not the number, but the heart. The Lord is looking for a contrite heart. You can be many, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord is seeking. You know, in that multitude where we finally say, this woman who had an issue of, you know, everybody saw Jesus as Jesus. And everybody was, you know, they wanted to see Jesus as Jesus. Who is this? People were pushing and pushing and pushing. But she had one purpose, to be healed. So out of the multitude, the many multitude that she squeezed through people. You know, Jesus said, somebody touch me. And the disciples were like, how can you say that somebody touched you? You know, how can you say somebody touched you? Yes, everybody, you know, like people are pushing against you. How can you say somebody touched you? And Jesus said, yes, I had somebody touch me. I felt strength come around me. And the woman was, you know, humbling there. I'm the one that touched you. But even though other people, you know, leaned against Jesus, there is that touch that made Jesus know that it's different. And it's my prayer today that we may be that touch that has a difference. So today, our topic is standing our ground. And I want us to look at the book of Daniel. And Daniel chapter 1 is the story of the Hebrew boys. And I'm going to read from 3. Daniel 1:3. I'll read from there. Then King ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court official, to bring into King Sanes some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, Daniel, the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord, the king, who has assigned you your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who ate royal food, and treat your servant in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these 4 young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kind of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them and found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. So this story is a very encouraging story about Daniel and his friends. You know, they stood their ground, and when the king Nebuchadnezzar said, bring me young men who have aptitude to understand, who are handsome, who have strength, before that, so that you may teach them the language of Babylonian, the literature, so that they may serve in the king's service. And these men were brought in, but they knew what it entails to eat the food of the Babylonians. This why the choice foods of Babylonians, they were probably food that had been sacrificed to their god, to their foreign gods, and the wine that had also been, you know, that probably had rituals done on them. And they decided they're not going to defile themselves with this kind of food. So the man that was ordered to, you know, to have to train this man, Daniel told men, we seek to eat vegetables and water And they had been, you know, it's like you are put in a place just to be fed and taught. No work for you, just to be fed and taught. So these people are supposed to look more stronger, more healthier, and, you know, increase in knowledge. And when he requested to this person, when he presented his request, he said, why should the king look, you know, see you looking worse than the other men? You will have him cut my head off. And he said, he made a request to this person, give me 10 days and test. Now you can make, from that, you know, after 10 days, you can decide whether you need to feed me this, but give me 10 days and test us. So for these 10 days, they were fed water and vegetables. They didn't defile themselves with the food of the king. They didn't defile themselves with the wine. They just took water and vegetables. And they stood their ground. And after the now time, the time came for him to assess how are these men faring. And they looked much healthier. They were not eating this kind of the choice food. It means it's the best of the best is in the king's palace. So they were looking much healthier. There it says they were looking. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. After the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So they looked better and healthier. So he had no option but to let them eat the vegetables and the water because they looked healthier and better nourished. So they took their ground, and they were taught. And when the king, you know, came for a time for Nebuchadnezzar to test their knowledge, to test how good they are, God had given Daniel the ability to, you know, to see visions, to interpret visions and all that. And when he tested them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and all the people that could interpret the dreams in his whole kingdom, not just better than the other, compared to the other that were training with them. In the entire kingdom, he found them 10 times better. Why? Because they did what was the best. They did not defile themselves. They stood their ground. So even today, in this life we are in, there are things in this life that will look like the choice food of the king. But they are not necessarily things that are godly. It is my prayer that God may give us discerning spirit, because after all, they would have said, oh, it's food. It's not everything that is presented to you that is food. Even though it might come in a Christian form, it's not everything that is presented to you that is of God. Because you can say food is food, but they decided they're not going to defile themselves. They say we're going to eat vegetables. So there are things that look, yes, these are the choice food, is, you know, everything, the best of the best. They look good. But when you defile themselves, the Spirit of God, it says darkness does not mix with light. But you see what happened to these men. Because they chose to, you would expect you eating, probably somebody can say, okay, what is, somebody might, let me just use this meeting. Let us say that there's a great meeting happening somewhere else and a great person is coming that people know of. And somebody can be asked, okay, choose to go to ECC meeting. There may be 5 or 6 women there, or there will be a great, you can go to the great, you know, great meeting somewhere else. And when you compare these two, I'm just giving an illustration. When you compare these two, you might see this meeting as vegetables and water. And you might think that other meeting might be fine meat, fine, you know, wine and all that choice stuff. But when you compare and you choose if you might see this as vegetable, you say nothing can come out of it. But guess what happened to these Hebrew boys? They ate vegetables. You do not expect nourishment. Vegetable, we know, is vitamins. We know you need proteins. We know you need all these carbohydrates for you to be nourished. But they ate vegetable, and probably you need other drinks to, you know, to nourish you. So, but they ate just vegetables and water. But God has the ability, even though you are just taking vegetables, if you stand your ground, God has the ability to nourish you, to make you smarter, to make you better, 10 times better than the entire, you know, those, that like the entire kingdoms, like the entire kingdoms, wise men, to make you 10 times better. So they stood their ground, and when you stand on the side of God, He makes you better. God, if you stand on the straight path, if you stand on the truth, if you stand on the righteousness of God, He's not there to leave you look like you're confused. He's there to enable you. He's there to make you better. He's there to make you 10 times better. He doesn't only make you good, He makes you the best. Because His promises are yes and amen. So let us continue with the story now of how when they were the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want to show you when you stand your ground how good God is when you stand your ground. Daniel 3:13-16. It's when the king had ordered for the people to worship these idols and all that. I'll just start from 13. We all know that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'll start from 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, cither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kind of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God would be able to rescue you from the hell?" I like the answer. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if He does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." You see how they stood their ground. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. You know, he knew who they were because he had tested them, and he had found them to be 10 times better than all his, you know, than all his magicians and all his wise men. Now his attitude changed them. They have refused to worship his, you know, the golden image, and they have refused to worship his foreign god. His attitude changed towards them. But he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter. You see, even the devil upped his game. If you're getting 10 times better, then the devil can up his game. He's saying, heat the furnace 7 times hotter. So it's not going to be the usual, you know, heat. He says, heat the furnace 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the soldiers, of their strong soldiers in his army, to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. You see how hot the fire was. The even people that were throwing Shadrach inside the furnace, they died because the heat was extremely, hot. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbowed and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God." Now you have acknowledged that their God is the Most High God. "Come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the straps prefect, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servant. They trusted in him, and he defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree," and you know the king decree. When the king decree, a decree is just like the decree he had made. Like, you know, "You worship me." When any decree he decrees, it comes to pass, you know. "Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation, any language, who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses be burnt into piles of rubble, for no other God can save this way." The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You see, they stood their ground. They knew what could have happened to them. They knew that, you know, this was no joke. And the king was furious. He heated the furnace 7 times hotter, in a way that even the men that, you know, let's assume the furnace is by the freezer over there. The men that, I don't think the men that were throwing them were, you know, they were not getting the fire. They were just close by where they would, you know, push them or throw them in. But the fire burned the soldiers that were throwing them into this, you know, furnace. But they said to Nebuchadnezzar, "We know that the God we serve is able to save us. But even though he does not, we still will not bow to your fallen God." Praise God. Even though he does not, we still will not bow to your fallen gods. So which pressures that press you that you must follow the crowd instead of following Christ? Even though you will be rejected, even though you will be blinded, like you are a fool, or you think you are all that, you know, you think you are the one that, like, oh, you are super spiritual. Are you going to stand your ground and say, "Even though I know my God is able to deliver me from this, and even though he does not, I will still not succumb to pressure"? Praise God.
Amen.
When they stood their ground, and they had not seen results, they left the matter at God's hand. He was either to save them or not. But even though they would have died, they would have died in the Lord. But God could not let them. The Bible says that the righteous have never been put to shame. The king and the people around them, they would not have seen the greatness of God if they just burned. But they saw the goodness of God. And when they were thrown, the king was saying, "Didn't we throw three men there? How come some sick four men? And the fourth one looks like a son of God." Why? Because even when you are in the deepest of the deepest situations, even when you are in the deepest of the deepest storms, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will never leave you. He will be with you in the storms. Even if war is waged against you and you feel cornered, even if the furnace has, the temperature has risen up 7 times hotter, if you stand your ground and know the God you serve, and you do not follow the multitude, but you follow the one and only Christ, who has called you, who has given you salvation. He will be with you. He can never leave you. And you see what the king, he decreed, anybody. He said there is no God that can save like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. People will say, there is no God that can save like the God of Carol. There is no God that can save like the God of Ryan.
Amen.
And he even decreed, anybody who will say anything, you see, anybody that will say anything against the God, you are hardly saying anything against God. You will be cut into pieces and your house touched and everything about you destroyed. Because these people stood their ground, God gave them victory. The situation was not ideal. They would have given up. They did not know whether God would save them. But he came through for them. So in every situation, stand your ground. Stand your ground. I want us to look at Samuel. 2 Samuel 23:8-17. Because when you stand your ground, even though you stand alone, God will come through and give you victory.
Amen.
2 Samuel. Fine, can you read it for us? 2 Samuel 23:8-17.
23?
Yes.
23:1.
From 8-17.
2 Samuel 23:8-17. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tatnoi that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. 9. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. 10. He rose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned him, and only to spoil. 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from Philistines. 12. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. 13. And 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hole, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. 15. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. 16. And the three mighty men broke through the host of Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink therefrom, but poured it out unto the Lord. 17. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he will not drink it. These three mighty men.
Amen. Thank you. So I want us to look at these mighty warriors. They stood firm. They stood their ground. Even though they stood alone, God gave them victory. Like, I want to emphasize on verse 12. It says, "But Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about great victory." So these three men are men, they were David's great warriors. You know, this man, the first one, his name is Joshua. The Bible says that you know, he raised his spear against 800 men whom he killed in one encounter. You see, when you stand firm, God gives you great victory. Victory that nobody can fathom. He killed 800 men. When he raised his spear, he killed 800 men with one encounter. And then the next man, who is Eleazar, son of Donai the Ammonite, as one of the three mighty warriors, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered as past the mean for battle. Then the Israelites retreated. You know, it's like when you are an army and then everybody retreats. It means like, you know, they get scared and they retreat back. The Israelites retreated, but Eleazar stood his ground. That word. The Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his heart grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. He stood his ground, that he slayed so many, you know, that he slayed so many Philistines until he could not do it no more. His heart froze. And the troops that had retreated, the Israelite troops that had ran away, they came back only to get the spoils from the dead. And then the last one is this guy, Shammah. In the whole field, he stood his ground in the middle of the field. That is verse 12. But Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down. And the Lord brought about great victory. The Lord brought about great victory. So when you stand your ground, God brings victory. When you stand your ground, you can imagine you are faced by a vast army. And you are just alone. Everybody has retreated and you are alone. But you know that your strength is not in the spear. You know that your strength is not on the weapon. Your strength is in the Lord. So you can stand knowing that your strength is in the Lord. And that's why these mighty men, even when David felt like he was thirsty, and there were Philistines on the other side, they broke that barrier of Philistines and went and got David water. But he said, "Far be it from me to drink this water." These men have risked their lives to go get that water. So he poured it unto the Lord like a sacrifice. He did not drink it because you know what? They knew that the Lord, you cannot face a vast army alone without God on your side. But they knew where their strength comes from. Even you today, I want to add, if you know where your strength comes from, it does not matter the challenge, it does not matter what you face, you can face it with boldness, and you can say that I know my God is able to save me from this, because God has never put his faithful servants into shame. Finally, we're going to read Ephesians 6:13. How are we going to stand our ground? How are we going to stand our ground? We know it's not by might, neither by our, you know, it's not because of the you know, our strength, it's not because of the machineries, it's not because of the education, it's not because of the know-how of how we know things. But that God has given us a formula of how we're going to stand our ground. Ephesians 6:13, it says, 6:13. Therefore, from 13. Ephesians 6:13. Okay, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the days of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. That's the formula that God has given us. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist. You know, the Bible says, do everything to stand firm. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did everything to stand firm. And after you have done everything, they did everything. They did not fear even death. They did everything. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with a belt of truth, which truth was to worship their true God. Put the belt of truth buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So that is the word of God, that, you know, after you have done everything, that is the only way you can stand. That is the only way you can be able to stand against any kind of opposition. That is the only way you can be able to stand against any form of charities. That is the only way you can be able to extinguish the arrows of the enemy. The arrows of the enemy comes in many forms. It comes in many forms. It can be in your house. It can be at your workplace. It can be anywhere. It can be in church. It can be anywhere. But you have to have truth in you. You have to have the shield of faith. The shield will shield you. Anything that arrow the devil throws at you, it will not penetrate. You have to clothe yourself with righteousness. You have to have the gospel of peace. And you have to have salvation in you. When you are equipped like that, it does not matter whether you are facing 800 men. You can be able to with a single spear, you can be able to destroy the camp of the enemy. It does not matter what mighty, vast army you face. It has not matter how situation looks like. As long as you have God, as long as you take your stand, as long as you do not allow to be intimidated, as long as you know who your God is, that you can say like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I know my God, the one that I serve, the God of Abraham. He's able to deliver me. But even though he does not, I still will not. Even though he does not deliver me, I will still not bow to this God that the king. And they even told the king, according to this matter, you know, regarding this matter, we can say nothing about it. I worship the true God of Israel, and I'm not going to get compromised. So let us stand our ground. Let us be counted like these three men, the great warriors of David. When everybody retreats, from the camp of the Lord, are you gonna be left standing? When everybody runs away, are you gonna be left standing? So be counted. It is my prayer that when the, everybody else retreats, that you will stand firm and you will face the enemy with courage, knowing that you are not the one that is fighting the fight. God is fighting the fight. And having knowing that, you know that for sure, even though I stand, even if I face this mighty army, I cannot be defeated, because the one who is in me is stronger than the one who is in the world. But when the Lord gives you victory, everybody will witness. The Bible says that he gave these men great victory was seen that day. Everybody who had retreated came back for the spoils. So even when God brings these blessings, everybody even who had retreated, they will be beneficiaries. They will get, you know, the spoils because you stood firm. But if what if everybody retreated and this man decided, okay, everybody have retreated, I don't think I can stand, there would have been no victory. And God said, the Bible, there is a pastor says, God, you know, God was like, looking for somebody to stand. Will you be found worthy? Will you be found worthy? So let us continue to trust in God. Let us to stand firm in the Lord and know that our strength comes from the Lord. It's not the physical strength. It's not because of the money that you have. It's not because of the position you have. It's not because of the education you have. It's because of who you have in the heart. And that is Jesus Christ. His name has power. You just have to let him use you. You just have to let him manifest his power in you. Let us put this armor of faith. This armor, so that we can be able to wage war against the enemy. So may God bless you, and may he continue to replenish you, and may his light continue to shine upon you. God bless you.
Amen.